two names with marvelous utility. To recall you from memory, to bid for your attention, to speak your identity into the air, and in doing so, affirm you in your tangible skin, with vibration and waves and exaltation, with the intimacy of sound spoken aloud, with the pleasure that comes from the physical act of declaring you. Let me speak your name, and in speaking, let me sing, a secret melody whose notes rise like birds and fall into your ears, to turn you toward me, with a smile that anticipates your own hidden song that choruses with my name. Let me speak your name, so I may hear my name spoken to me from you. You cannot imagine the sensuousness of speech, you who have spoken all your life, you who have mouthed words like bread, a staff of life common on your tongue. You cannot appreciate the luxury speech represents to those of us who have no time for it, we who speed our words, transmitting mind to mind without mediation, not even for the briefest pause between mind and mouth to temper what we say or to soften sharp edges. To speak without words is to speak fast and cheap, to not have to choose words either wisely or poorly, but to send them all without discrimination, all content and no style, function over form, everything being what is said and nothing being how it is said. I talk to those I know, one mind to another, efficient and sure. We say what we need to say and then move on. Words do not mean to us what they mean to you and yours. We have other ways to share our emotions and our care and regard. Words do not carry that freight for us. They are light and fast and hollow. Sparrows with fragile bones. Your words are not like this. Your words are filled. Their hollows crammed with meaning. Things unsaid nested within, jammed with implication. It is a wonder they do not drop to the floor the moment they leave your mouth. I marvel at what you say, and even more, how you say it. How your words shift their shape and contain their intent until they are inside me and unpack their contents, to leave me in awe of their economy. So much said with so little. I cannot do this myself. We speak the same language, but build our words differently. Mine are simple and deliberate, yours effortlessly complex. You are not aware of the miracles you make of your words. I cannot do this myself. I do not even try, save when I am speaking your name. With those few words, I am your equal, filling the words with complexity and light, stained glass shining from the inside. You are so used to what you do with your words that you do not notice the effort I put into mine. I don't mind. Take for granted that your name flows from my lips. It is a gift to me that you expect it there. Let me speak your name and fulfill your expectation. I was not always in love with the spoken word. Those of you born to speech do not know how you tax the patience of those of us born to thought. How our first thought in hearing one of you speak is to wonder at the extent of your damage, to be curious at what sort of trauma could result in such an obvious and slow-moving thing such as stands before us. We listen with politeness and internal pity. You cannot be faulted for the deficiencies to which you are born, and we would not choose to point out that they exist. We listen and wait for our turn to speak, and then speak as slowly as you have been afflicted to do so. We try to get done with it as quickly as possible because we know how much your sort wish to speak again, straining to pass along information along with asides and anecdotes and digressions and irrelevancies, leaving us to filter what you mean from what you say, We are no less verbose, but at least we are quicker when we talk amongst ourselves through our thoughts. And when you are done, again, we speak, briefly and with economy and to the point, speaking what need to be said and ignoring that which does not. For our courtesy, we are labeled arrogant and curt. It annoys us. In time, I came to appreciate the spoken word, with its implications and intimations and allusions, with its potential of saying more than mere words, its palette of meaning, richer and wider than I first grasped. And with that appreciation came exasperation at those gifted with speaking, who could say so much with what they said and how they said it, and chose to say nothing of consequence, who opened their mouth and allowed banality to fall out and thud to the ground, who were unaware that they could do with their words, with the barest minimum of effort, what I, with all my desire, could accomplish only haltingly, if at all. It was like being starved and watching those at a feast ignore the best dishes to fill up on bread. If I could have, I would have pushed their faces into their words, to make them see the parody they made of them. But they would have only been confused, and I would only have been more exasperated. There is a saying along the lines of not trying to teach a pig to sing because it wastes your time and annoys the pig. I want you to know how many times I have stood in pig-filled rooms and longed to annoy. I did not. I sat and listened to them talk instead, and was amazed to discover more in their words, subtext and overtones, emotional resonances that even those speaking did not know were there, the rhythm and pattern and tone of their speech opening them wide to be read, books whose messages are not in the text, but the footnotes, a library of the human experience. It took time to translate the language, and I do not imagine I have mastered it. It will never be my native tongue, but I hear it well enough that in hearing it, I see those who speak it anew, and once again, I have pity for those who speak aloud. Not because they speak so slowly, but because so many of them are deaf to all that they say. If they could hear what I hear, they would be amazed. My native tongue is not a tongue, but the flash of neurons decoded and transmitted by machine instead of muscle. But it is my tongue nonetheless. My tongue, my map, my window, my apprehension of the world to myself. I am leaving it behind to be with you. I am an immigrant whose first language will not be simply unused, but amputated. The parts of me I used to speak it, left behind. No part of who I will be to speak it, even in the silence of my mind. You do not know how this worries me. It is not that I am to be made to speak aloud a language I love and long to hear, but which I speak imperfectly. In time, I will speak it well enough. I worry that who I am is in how I know to speak, that I am shaped by my words and how I say them, and that, in my deprivation, that which is me will diminish and become something other than what I am and what I am to you. I am doing something new. I am holding myself in my mind, who I have been and who I am, wordless and silent. No description to resolve into a lexicon spoken or sent. A view of myself immune to travel or translation or amputation. When I move to your world, my thoughts will be filled with myself. The measure of my character and deficiencies and desires held mute, and in being mute, held whole. So that when I am sent to you, I will be who I have been and who I am, so I can be who I will become with you. I know you would not begrudge me this, that you would want me to think on myself, if by doing so I believed that it would keep me myself. But you should know that as I hold myself in my thoughts, to will myself into being myself once more, the version of me I hold to myself holds you in her thoughts. She holds you wordlessly, you who have been, and who you are, and who you will become with her. She holds you in her without words or speech, and longs to speak your name.